I've teamed up with GoCar. Let me tell you why. Ireland has more cars on the road today than we've ever had before. In fact, 750,000 households have two or more cars. That doesn't sound like the future of driving to me. Car sharing takes cars off the road. In fact, GoCar asked 4,000 of their members, if GoCar didn't exist, would you buy yourself a car? 60% of them said they would. If you want a cost-effective and convenient way to get around, download the GoCar app and discover the smarter and affordable way to move. Welcome back to Understanding Money. I am Owen McGee. Really pleased to have you back. Today is all about self-employment, working for yourself. Does it make sense? But if you're not self-employed, or you're not even thinking of going self-employed, there will be little nuggets throughout the episode today that are going to be useful to you if you're a PAYE worker, or even if you've got a mate that goes out on their own, you might have something to add to their journey by listening in today. Taking the leap to be self-employed is a scary thing to do, and there are certain things that you need to get your ducks in a row on before you go and take that leap. The first one is to understand why you're doing this. Why do you want to go out on your own? Don't kid yourself into believing that you're going to have loads of spare time, you're going to be your own boss, and you're going to make loads of money. I do remember when I first went out on my own, it would have been when I went into partnership with a mate of mine originally, when I left PAYE work, me and him weren't working together. And I remember thinking to myself, I'm a financial planner and I'm meeting all of these clients and I'm making loads of money for my boss. And sure, if I just go out on my own, won't I make all that money for myself and I won't have to work for somebody else, be able to decide my own hours, be able to do all the stuff I want to do with my life, and I'll be able to deliver advice and financial planning to people in a way that I want to deliver it, as opposed to being told how to deliver it. And I was wrong. I did get to design how I delivered financial planning to people, but all that free time doesn't come. All the money doesn't come. All of that stuff doesn't come immediately. You have to stick with it and you have to put the structures in place and you have to be surrounded by people. This is a key thing for me, being surrounded by people in the business who are better than me. If you're thinking about taking the leap, make sure you understand your why. And I'll talk about that at the very end as well. Make sure you understand why you're doing it. And if there's good reason behind it, if you've got good passion behind it, and it's not about money, it's much more likely to succeed than if you're just doing it for the money or the free time or to try to be your own boss. When you are taking that leap, I cannot recommend enough talking to other people who are already in that position. Don't worry about them being competitors or if they're competitors. Don't worry if they've nothing to do with your business or the industry you're going into. Go and talk to people who are already in business, people who have just set up, people who are long established, and ask them what the key to their success is. Because by getting first-hand information, it's invaluable to you. Surround yourself with decent professionals, financial planners. Financial planner will look forwards at your finances. Accountants are also useful. They look backwards at your finances and tell you where you are today. Surround yourself with these people and look to things like the local enterprise office for support and encouragement and guidance on what steps to take next. It is exciting. You will enjoy it. It will be tough. You'll love it. You'll hate it. You'll enjoy it. But if you have a passion for it and you know it's the right thing to be doing, don't take too long to take the leap. We're going to talk to Karina now, and Karina has taken that leap in very recent months and she's gone out on her own. I'm joined by Karina. Karina, thanks very much for coming in. And I know we spoke the other day on the phone and we had a bit of a chat. And the reason why I think the listeners, viewers, whatever way you're consuming this is, the reason why I think they'd be interested in your story is because you've made a big leap. You've gone from full-on PAYE worker, payslip, and now you've gone out on your own. Isn't that right?
That's correct,
and you're going out as... And actually, tell me yourself, what jump have you made? What have you gone into?
Yeah, so I suppose historically, I was working mostly in community development for the LGBT community and would have done a lot of volunteering in that area as well. So I guess I've seen a bit of a gap in the market in terms of event management and event planning for different events around the country. So I've gone into that, as well as offering training and workshop delivery around LGBT inclusion and diversity in the workplace. So
is it fair to say that you have gone from a role doing certain things within a role that you were getting a pay slip each week or each month for, and you've recognised a gap in the market for you to go into it, but you're more or less going to be doing the same job, it's just you're doing it for yourself now instead of for somebody else. Is that fair?
That is fair. Yeah, yeah. I have more flexibility and control now, which is part of the reason I wanted to do it. And also because I see an opportunity there.
Okay. And tell me about that decision process, though. Is that something that you sat on for a long time? Did the opportunity jump at you in the face and say, you have to do this now or you're never going to be able to do it? Tell me about that decision process to give up the stable income and to take that leap.
Well, I suppose it was, a lot of it was for personal reasons. I guess around Christmas 2022, I lost a really close friend.
Right.
And I went back to work in the new year and I just had that decision-making process around what do I want to do now? I love that whole new year, new me kind of thing anyways. So at that point, I decided to leave my job and I went to Australia for 3 months. Went for the Women's World Cup, but also to do a bit of traveling. And it was during that time, I put a lot of effort into thinking about what I want to do. A lot of research. I wanted to stay working in the LGBT community. And that's when I was thinking about, well, what opportunities are there? And then I came up with the idea for my business.
Okay.
So I came home in October, got very quickly into building my website and my business plan and all that. Yeah. And I've just kicked off now in January.
Okay. Do you mind telling me a little bit about your friend who passed away? Was it sudden?
Yeah, it was very sudden. My friend Dave back home, really lovely guy, just got very sick over a couple of days, ended up in the hospital in Limerick and yeah, just passed away.
Oh, well.
So it was a big shock, but I think it also motivated me to look at my life. I have a thing around that. You know, I love that, not saying, but memento mori, you know, remember you will die, remember that. And I suppose to use that as a motivational piece. And I transferred that over to my work life and kind of thought about, well, he didn't have these opportunities. He kind of always stayed back home in Clare and he wanted to move on and do other things, but he didn't. So I wanted to use his debt, I suppose, as terrible as it sounds, to kind of kickstart my life to go in a direction I want to go. And yeah, I think I've done that. I think I've done that very successfully by starting the business.
What do you think he's saying to you now?
Well done. Right. Well, absolutely well done. Yeah, he'd be delighted for me. And he'd probably be joining me up in Dublin if I ever move back.
Yeah. It's interesting because there is some research out there that says if you believe in a higher power, now I'm talking about a god of whatever origin you want to put it on, right? That you can achieve more. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm not picking any god in particular, but you can achieve more. And I kind of, whatever about my own religious beliefs, right? I have some people in my life who have died along the way, and I can see a connection there where you're kind of going, you talk to them in your head. What would they say to me? If they were here right now, what would they say to me? And it can drive you on, and it's obviously driven you on to make that big leap. Did it make it less scary, or was it still really scary?
Do you know, it did make it a bit less scary. I think I just felt more motivated, considering the shortness of life and all that. But it was obviously still scary. The main part of this, the fright being around the financial aspect of it and the insecurity. That is the thing about being the PAYE worker, is that you know at the end of the week how much is coming in and you can plan your life around that. Whereas I don't have that now.
Okay.
So that was probably the most frightening bit. But.
And tell me about it. So you've literally, we are now sitting the second week in February. You've been independent on your own since what, the 1st of January or 1st of October?
Since mid-October, I've been on my own, but I've only really, I considered January my start-off point because that's when I started pulling in income.
Okay.
I wasn't doing it before Christmas because that was the build-up of the business, you know, the website, as I said, the business plan. I had a mentor through the local enterprise office as well, which is great. Yeah, yeah.
You found that useful, did you?
I did. I found it very useful, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you got your website up and running, you got your first check in January. What's the diary looking like now? Are you fairly full up? Have you got a bit of runway in front of you?
I'm very full up, I think, until the end of June, which is the end of Pride Month. So it's a big season, I suppose, coming up. It used to be Pride Day, Pride Week, now it's Pride Month. So I love it personally.
Yeah.
I've one big event in August, but after the end of June, I don't have much. But I suppose I also find it hard to plan what I'm going to do because I'm so busy now. I have so many projects that will keep me busy until the end of June. But yeah, I guess I don't even have time to consider that, to be honest.
And what's the biggest surprises to you? I know you're early on, but what's the biggest surprises that you've found when you've made this, whether it's emotionally, what rent space in your head? What is it that you're kind of, whoa, I wasn't expecting that?
Probably the support I've got from the LGBT community itself and the interest in the events that I'm doing. I thought that I'd have to spend a lot more time. Like, I didn't think I'd be making any money in January, to be honest. And I just think the support from other people has been immense. And it was a really nice surprise.
Do you know what's interesting? I'm going to make a leap here. You come across as someone who's incredibly positive, right? And that's great. And it's really nice to be you kind of get a vibe off someone that they're a very positive person. Give me a negative.
A negative going into business. Oh God. Okay. Well, I can go back to the financial aspect.
Did you find that hard when you were waiting? Like, you were 2.5 months with no check and you got your first check in January. Did you find that difficult? Had you got rid of reserves before you had your...
I had reserves. That's my buffer. That,
yes,
I suppose I wasn't.
Great.
Didn't really want to be spending. I suppose it's what I had considered in the past to be my mortgage is the money I'm saving up for a mortgage. And again, when I went through this whole midlife, early midlife crisis, I decided that I'm actually not anywhere near buying a house, won't be buying in the next 5 years, and that I can actually use this money for other things. So I was happy, absolutely delighted then to invest. I consider it an investment in the business. But I'm also living back home in the family home in Clare, so I don't have the same expenses I would if I was moving back to Dublin, which is something I want to do.
And did you move back to Clare because of your friend David and the change that came about, or was it to support you financially to start the business?
No, I was already back in Clare because I moved back to do my master's a number of years ago, and then I got a bit of work down there and I was supposed to move back to Dublin. It didn't happen. Okay. Just a different job. But yeah, after Australia, my initial goal was I'm just going to move straight back to Dublin when I come back from Australia. Then obviously I decided to go into self-employment, so that didn't happen. But it's still top of my list is to
get back
just
to
in
Dublin.
Terms of work opportunities and my social life, to be honest. I want to be back here.
Okay. When you obviously got some support from the local enterprise office, and I have to say, anybody I know who's engaged, and I've done some work with them over the years as well, but they just really know what buttons to press in terms of how to drive you on, to shine a light in certain areas to say you need to be considering this. If you were able to, if you think about your whole setup process over the last 3 months, if you were able to talk to yourself 3 or 4 months ago, what would you tell yourself?
In terms of what would I do differently? Or
Yeah.
Well, tell myself I should have started sooner, which probably isn't positive feedback. I wish I had started sooner. It'd probably be, I could have done some events in the build-up to Christmas. I think I spent too much time making little tiny changes to the website and to my business plan, all that kind of stuff.
Was that procrastination or was it?
Probably a bit of procrastination and a bit of fear. Yeah. And because of the time of year it was, I was like, oh, no one would be interested in Anthem before Christmas. But like, look, I could have trialed something and seen if it worked. You know, I think I did hold off a bit much rather than just launching and just going.
Yeah.
Going with it.
Were you doing any work, and I don't want to get you in trouble with your previous employer, but were you doing any work outside of your 9 to 5, if you want to call it that, that you kind of were able to test the waters? Or was this literally, you stopped one day and you started the next day on your own? How did it work?
Well, my work was in the area of LGBT community development, so it was quite relevant, but I also did a lot of volunteering.
Okay.
So like sports and health promotion is my main area that I'm really passionate about. And there's an LGBT sports organization called Sport and Pride, and I was volunteering with them for years doing their event management. So I think volunteering is a great way to get experience in an area that you're thinking of going into business in. And it
and
really
network.
Helped me.
And to network.
Oh yeah, I think that's why things have worked out so well for me in January as well, because I know a lot of the people who I need to know already. So yeah.
Did you do this change for money?
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
Do you think it can work if you do go after to do it for money? Do you think, talking about your advice to other people, do you think if someone's thinking about going out on their own, they're thinking about doing it for money, do you think, and you're a little bit early on to know this, but what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think, to be honest, it's taken up a lot of my time. I'm working more hours than I did in my Monday to Friday 9 to 5. So I think if you weren't passionate about it, that it's not going to work. Well, I wouldn't say that to everyone, but.
And come back
for
to
me,
the start, though,
so.
You said this gives you much more flexibility. Was that the words you used?
Yeah.
But yet you're working more hours. Because when you said that, I'm going to be honest with you, right? I haven't set up my own business. 20 years ago, I was in a partnership, and then I set up my Prosperous in 2008. And when you're working for somebody else and you're doing the job, and then you end up going out on your own, you think, oh, I'm going to have all this free time and I control my own diary and everything else. It's not true. Sure, it's not.
No, it's definitely not. No. But I guess it's more flexibility and control and not necessarily more time. So I had an event I wanted to go to on Tuesday and I just decided I was going. You know, I've booked 2 weekends away that I really want to go on. I don't have to run that by anybody. You know, I can plan around it. You know, even if I have to work on a Saturday and Sunday so I can take a Tuesday and Wednesday off, I can do it. So it's the flexibility of it that I like. But the hours definitely have increased. But I'm willing to sacrifice that because it's doing events that I love and delivering training on a topic I'm passionate about. So it works for me.
I do think, though, one of the things that I think people can often fall into, and I think you just need to make sure you control that, right? You need to, because when you are a PAYE worker, you have a boss, right? When you're working for yourself, you have 50 bosses. Every client you have is a boss and they can demand. Now, there is a little bit more, right? That Tuesday is important to me and I'm blocking it out and nothing's getting in there. And you can take the control over that. But you do need to be careful about keeping that balance right and reminding yourself on a regular basis, I'm doing this because I love it. I'm doing it because I want to. But I'm also doing it because I wanted a bit of flexibility in my life to do the other stuff that's important to me as well.
Yeah.
Did you make a decision or did you just fall into it in terms of whether you went sole trader or a limited company? Or has anyone ever talked to you about that? Or what way are you structured?
I am a sole trader. I would like to form into a limited company in the future, but I suppose this was just the easiest option right now because I was kind of on my own. And I'm not fully sure about forming a company, but I think I need someone else, possibly. I don't know.
Yeah, not anymore. Not as much as you used to have a big shareholder, as someone who would have shares in the business as well, but you can have 100% directors now. And for people who don't know, have a clue what I'm talking about, when you set up a limited company, it's a separate entity. It's a separate legal entity. And if something goes wrong with the business, it's that legal entity, that limited company, that is going to take all the responsibility there. So if you're going to get sued, it's the limited company gets sued, not you. As a sole trader, if you're going to get sued, it's the sole trader. It's you who gets sued. But traditionally, the rules were around that were when you were setting up a limited company, you needed to have two shareholders in it. Now you can have a director who is 100% shareholder. You do need somebody else who signs as secretary. You do need someone signatory on us, but you don't need to give them any shares to do that.
Okay, so it could be a friend or someone like that?
It could be a friend. Yeah. There's a bit of responsibility involved in it. You can pay for professionals either, but there is a bit of responsibility involved for being a director in a business. But if you have a good friend who's happy to take it on, yes, there's no legal requirement that they have to be of us, like that they have any background or anything in being a director. Like, you can pick someone, whoever you want to vote on it, but just protect them and protect yourself if you do decide to go that route. And what I would say is typically there's a bit more responsibility, there's a bit more requirement in terms of returns and everything when you go limited. I do believe you took the right decision right now, where you've got the sole trader, you work away, you're a self-employed individual, you work away. It's likely at the start that all the income that comes in, you're going to spend, whether it's on reinvesting the business or paying for bread and milk, you're going to spend it. When you do get to the business, or if the business does get to the point in the future where you have surplus income at the end of it, at the end of the year, I mean, with a sole trader, you have to distribute that income. With the limited company, you can leave it in the business and use it next year and the year after to keep reinvesting the business or to create a buffer for the business as well as yourself. So there will come a point, if income goes up dramatically, there will come a point where you're saying, okay, maybe now is the time to jump from the sole trader to the limited company. And the accountant is always the best person to be able to give you guidance on that.
Yeah. I did visit an accountant at the start of the year and I just told him I'm not considering that yet. But that's kind of, hopefully I'll make it through the first 12 months and it's something I would definitely aim for then because of that liability piece, you know.
Are you good at tracking your expenses? Are you good at looking after that stuff?
Well, I've started well on the business account. Yeah. I've got an Excel sheet and I just track whatever expense coming in and coming out is and how much is profit. I suppose I'm not tracking tax and stuff like that because I had thought that maybe I've got a sole trader business account now, bank account, that maybe I should open a separate account to transfer money into for tax purposes.
Yeah.
And then another separate account for my buffer. But then I'm kind of worried, will it get all messy? My personal finances can be a bit messy in that way. So I'm kind of wondering, should I have, just in terms of tracking it, should I just leave it all in the one bank account?
I would strongly suggest, particularly with tax, one of the things that catches people out really badly, particularly in the first year, but oftentimes in the 10th and the 15th year when they're well established, is the tax, right? So people see 100 euros coming into the bank account and the business bank, and it sounds like you have a business account and you have your personal account. Make sure that's first step. Two separate accounts, you've done that already, but make sure you're never paying for business stuff from the personal account and vice versa. Because once it gets confused, once the account looks at it and says, why are you paying for your grocery shopping from the business account? And then it's harder to trust everything else that's going on in that business account. And you'll end up paying more tax. So you need to keep your personal and your business separate and keep yourself honest on that as well, because sometimes people try and push the boat out a little bit and it's a trust thing that whether it's your accountant or whether it's a tax audit that you're going through, if it all looks clean, you'll be believed much quicker than, oh, there was a few mistakes, and even if there were genuine mistakes. So keep them two separate. But I would say the big thing that catches people out is the tax. You get 100 euros lodged into the business account and you say, oh, I made 100 quid. No, you didn't. Like, you probably made 70. And I would be taking, like, 30% is over-egging it. But I would say, like, if you think about really high earners in Ireland, they're probably on an effective tax rate of around 33%-ish. So for every 100 euros they have coming in, there's about 33% of it going out in taxes. And that's reasonable earners. I said high earners, but that's reasonable earners. That's what we call the effective tax rate. You're never going to be disappointed at the end of the year, right? If you take 30 to 35% of everything that you earn and you put it to one side for tax, this time next year, you're not going to be cursing me saying, oh, I have to pay my tax bill. Because your tax bill, remember, is not going to be due until October, 12 months, right? And you're never going to be cursing me saying, I have too much money here in my tax account, right? So just get used to it. Get used to having that much chunk taken out of you. Cover the tax bill when it comes, pay it on time, and then go again. Because once you get used to, if you think about that 100 euros, if you get used to having 70, you'll get used to having 70. If you get used to having 100, you'll really find it hard to recoup that. And that's where people fall down big time, is that first big tax bill that comes in.
Okay.
So I cannot stress that enough, that you need to be doing that and separating it off. As regards a buffer, it depends about your own mental math, in terms of if you're looking at the account and let's say, I'm just going to take a random number because I don't want to use your numbers, right? And I don't know your numbers and I don't need to know your numbers. But let's say you've got 10,000 euros sitting in the business bank account and you're saying, I know that it costs, like I need to pay myself each month, right? And I know that it's going to cost me 5 grand to cover each month, right? That means you've got 2 months run rate there. You've got 2 months of runway. If you've got 10 grand in the account, you've got 2 months of runway. You should really be, as an individual who's self-employed, particularly at the start, you're trying to get that up to 6 months, which is a lot, right? And you should actually be treating it the same, the business side and the personal side, with the stage you're at right now. Okay, business, personal side, you're trying to get up to figure out, how much do I need to, on your personal side, how much do I need to live my life, right? And don't fall short of it. Like you're doing this because you love it. You're doing it for the flexibility. But you're also doing this to make money. Let's be fair, right? So figure out what you need on your side. How much do I need for savings? How much do I need? Work out all the personal finances and say, right, I need, and I'm going to use the number again, 5 grand, because it's my number, it's not yours. I need 5 grand a month. And the first person who gets paid each month is you. And that's another mistake people will often make at the start. They'll pay everybody else and they'll pay themselves last. You need to be paid first, because there's nothing... It's really easy to let yourself off the hook, pay everyone else and find out in 6 or 12 months or probably even longer than that, I'm actually doing this for everybody else and getting nothing out of it myself. So if the mental maths allows you to say, oh, I can see a 15 grand account, that's 3 months, great, that's your 3 months. And then, but if the mental maths doesn't allow you to do that and you've got 15 grand, 5 grand a month run rate or burn rate, as we'd call it, I would be taking 10 grand out of that and putting it into a different account so that you're only ever looking at this month's expenses sitting in the business current account. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it definitely does make sense. Yeah. For me, I think, I probably would want it a bit separate, just the way you're explaining it there. I would like to just see in the bank account what's available to me at that time.
Yes.
And I suppose, for example, as I keep call it a buffer, but like I ran a retreat back in January. I had to pay the venue in advance, and yes, that was like 1.5 grand. So that came out my personal account buffer.
Yeah.
But I will be doing more events throughout the year that require me to have a big chunk of change available to pay in advance. But it will come back once the ticket sales close. But none of these ticketing platforms allow you to get money out until the event is over.
Yeah.
So that's, I suppose I consider that a buffer, or maybe it's something that needs to stay in the account.
And what I would do there, interestingly, the accountant would say it doesn't make a difference from an accounting perspective. But from your perspective, what I would be doing there is where the business needs money and you need to give it to them personally, give it to the business, which is your sole trader. You are the business. But I would be transferring it from the personal account to the business account and then getting the business account to pay those advances of 1,500 euros or whatever it is. Make it really clear. That's money being introduced by you into the business and you're owed that money back. And when the ticket sales come in, you get paid back first. The money gets dropped into the business account and you get your 1,500 quid back first. And then you start looking at all the rest of the stuff. And I'm not saying for one second that you shouldn't be paying the stuff that you're due, but if you don't prioritise you, what you'll find very quickly is the income, you won't put the same pressure on yourself to generate the income. Because when you owe yourself money, if you pay yourself first and you owe other people money, you'll put more priority in making sure that the other people are paid than you would put it on yourself. So if you're looking at this and you're going, okay, I have a week left in the month and I have to pay that person 1,000 euros and I haven't got it. It's so easy to let yourself off the hook and take it from the personal bank account and stick it into the business account and pay them. But if you have to go out and look for it, you are more likely to look for somebody else than they are for yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does make sense. Yeah,
so
yeah,
just
yeah.
Make sure you don't get knocked down the pecking order. You are the most important person to get paid and then everyone else after that. Okay. Mm-hmm. And there are certain things with your business that you have to pay for upfront or else it just doesn't happen. And you need to be constantly trying to think ahead. The more runway you can get for yourself in terms of your burn rate, the better. You will have some bigger decisions to make as you go along. Don't leave it too long to start a pension. Like you really need to get that. There's no point in putting money into pension yet because you don't know what the tax bill is. But I would be fairly confident based on starting at zero that if you put 30, 35% away, when it comes to tax bill time, you'll be able to say, you know what, I've put 30% of my earnings away just to keep the maths really simple. Make up the number of 100 grand, right? Whatever, right? 30 grand is in this account. Your tax bill might be 20, which means you've 10 to go into your pension.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? So I think from where you're at now, and that's not perfect for everyone. I'm not saying everyone should be putting 30% away. It might be a different rate for everybody, but that's a really good rate for where you're starting at right now. And I think it'll be too much in the end, and I'm happy with that.
Okay. And that's something you said an accountant will help with, or?
Yeah, an accountant will help with that. For the moment, I think you just need to get through your year and see how you go. And every time money comes in, take that 30% and put it to one side. Try and find out what your burn rate is. Put that into the account. Everything else above the burn rate for this month should be in another account. I'm not worried about you having 2 and 3 accounts. If it helps, just go for it. You can do these on some of the kind of Revoluts and N26 non-post. You can have one account with loads of subfolders, vaults, wallets, spaces, whatever they're called in the app that you're using. And there's no issue. You can have a business account, one of them, and have them split out amongst that. And that can be really useful to separate them off. But I do think you need to remind yourself on a regular basis, I'm doing this because I love it. I'm doing it because I have a passion at first. I'm doing it because I'm good at it. And I'm doing it for the flexibility and the money. And then there's no priority there. You're doing it for all of those reasons.
Yeah, definitely.
As you start to get a bit more established, there'll be things like pension that you need to consider. There'll be things like income protection and specified illness because there's nobody's got your back now. You're on your own. And that can be a scary point, but you've taken that leap. You've done it and you've taken the encouragement, the motivation, whatever the words are from your friend David. And that's, you know what, that's something that can be life-changing for people.
Yeah, it definitely has been, yeah.
And he'll always be attached to it.
Oh, yeah, nice. 100%, yeah.
Yeah. Karina, I really appreciate your time and I will watch with keen interest to see how this develops over the next couple of months in particular. And do keep in touch with us because I know it's always a case that I'll bump into someone on the street and say, do you ever hear from that Karina one again? And how's she getting on? So do, you have my number now. Text us in a couple of months' time and just let us know how you're getting on because we'll watch this one with interest.
Well, thanks, Owen. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Karina, for coming in. Amanda, you're very welcome back for another Q&A. We have a couple of questions again.
We do.
We think we're going to just go with two today. Is that right?
Yeah, I think two.
Okay, let's see where we go. We just jump in.
Jump straight in. Number one.
Hi, Owen. I just saw your voice message there just about self-employed people sending a message to you. So my situation is I am a dairy farmer from Cork. I seem to end up with a big, huge tax bill to pay at the end of every financial year, which impacts on my cash flow. So I'm just wondering if you can advise as to any sort of an investment scheme or a pension fund that I can invest in that will offset the tax liability that I have at the end of every year. Thanks very much. Thank you.
Okay, so this person's self-employed. For self-employed people, what it means is they, in October, well, actually it's November, right? Because everyone does it online now, but usually it's the second week of November mm-hmm. is the deadline. You put in your tax return and you pay your tax for the previous year.
Yeah.
So if you think about it, October stroke November 24, you'll be paying for 23 taxes, okay? Mm-hmm. 2023 taxes. And there's a couple of things you need to do. He's concerned about the cash flow issues, right?
Yeah.
One of the things you need to do, which is what we were talking to Karina about, was the idea that you put aside 30%, okay? 30-35% of all income you have coming in, you put that to one side for taxes. We've covered that already. What he's actually also asking about is things that reduce your tax bill.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So pension contributions. This is the perfect one, right? Pension contributions, if there's no better way on a year-to-year basis of getting money out of the business and into your name. There are a couple of other schemes. So just to be aware of that later on with mm-hmm. retirement relief and entrepreneurial relief and a whole pile of other things, right? But from reducing your tax bill today, what can you do? You can put money into a pension. And just to run the maths on this really simple for a self-employed person, let's imagine you've got a tax bill of €10,000. And let's ignore limits on how much you can put in just to keep the math simple, right? But let's imagine you were allowed to put €10,000 into your pension. Okay.
Yeah.
What would happen is you've got a bill of €10,000. You put €10,000 into your pension. You now have €4,000 less tax to pay. Mm-hmm. So the tax bill goes from 10 down to 6. Mm-hmm. So now what's happened is instead of writing the tax man a check for 10 grand, you're writing two checks, one for 10 grand for yourself, for your pension, and one for 6 grand to the tax man for clearing off the tax bill.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So now, I've really simplified the maths there and I've broken a whole pile of rules about how much you're allowed to put into pensions just to make the point really clear. And actually, just for the PAYE worker thinking about this, you can also make a contribution into pension up until October stroke November for last year as well.
Yeah.
And the nice thing for a PAYE worker is if you write a cheque for €1,000 and you've already paid all your taxes, right, from 2023, you'll get a €400 refund.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Assuming your taxes are all in order, you'll get a €400 refund for every €1,000 you put into it if you're on the higher rate of tax.
So everyone can do it for the previous year.
Yeah. And most PAYE workers don't realise that. They don't realise that they can still go back into last year.
That's what I was going to say.
Self-employed people are usually up to speed on it because they know I'm finalising if we're thinking about this year, we're finalising 2023. So what expenses can I put off? One of the expenses you can put off is the pension contribution going in. And it's an absolute no-brainer. If you can afford to do it, you should be doing it because it reduces your tax bill.
Yeah. And just, I suppose, on that with, I suppose a lot of people who go self-employed or, you know, if they've just gone self-employed, they might be thinking, how do I go about it? Like, how do I go about setting up a pension? I suppose that's just a question as well to, I suppose,
yeah, one of the things is you can often get a good guidance from your accountant,
yeah,
about where to go to set up a pension. There are loads of accountants out there that are great accountants.
So first rule is, if you're self-employed, get an accountant.
Yeah, you do need an accountant. I know, I would suggest a good accountant will make sure you're not paying too much tax, right? Because we should actually be talking about expenses and everything else. Like, there's a whole pile of expenses that are allowable. Like, if he's a dairy farmer, right? Does he have an office in the house? Is he expensing the running of the office? Is he taking some of the electricity and the gas bill from the home and putting it against the business? Like, this is something an accountant would look at your specific circumstances and say, yeah, these are the things you're allowed to do. They'll keep you honest. They'll make sure you're using the tax to the best of your advantage as you possibly can. So there's a whole pile of expenses that can be put through as well. But when it comes to where do you start a pension, talk to the accountant. Just be careful when you speak to the accountant. Some accountants are brilliant accountants and they're crap pension advisors, but they pretend, not pretend, they believe they are.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just a pension. So you just stick it in. Mm. You don't just stick it in. You have to make sure it's invested properly. You have to make sure the charges are right. You have to make sure the allocation is right. You have to make sure all that stuff is right.
Yeah.
And I'm a strong believer in, you go to a professional to get a job done. And if this isn't their day in, day out, don't just have them doing it on the side. And a lot of accountants don't, because it's not their bread and butter, it's because it's not what they're doing all day, every day, they just look at it from the tax point of view. Oh yeah, you stick it in there and you get the tax relief. What more is there to it? Mm. There's a lot more to it. So get the accountant to refer you on to someone,
that's
ideally.
That's what I was going to say.
You get referred on to someone.
Yeah.
Or like, you're head of marketing for who?
Prosperous.
Oh, yeah. What's their website?
I do think that just on that, obviously go to a trusted financial advisor, and Prosperous would be an option on that. But it also, a huge thing is referrals for people. So if you do have an accountant, ask them who they're used to working with.
Yeah. Or even ask your mates. Like, we're not just talking about self-employed people. We're a country that doesn't talk about money.
Yeah.
Right? If you ask people, Who's your financial planner? Oh, such and such. Yeah, he was there.
We share.
Yeah,
like, we share when we're asked.
Yeah, but we're just not going to volunteer.
Yeah, we're not going to volunteer the information.
Let's have the next question.
Hi, Owen. I am considering on changing my career, which would involve leaving my public sector job and becoming self-employed. Now, this was quite daunting. The fact that there would be no guaranteed paycheck at the end of every month. Just about this change, I was wondering, is there any way I can prepare financially for this change, as it would be such a major change and it's somewhat stopping me making that move?
It's not part of the problem. It's the problem for people when they're making this leap, right? This is the biggest concern people have. I'm going to go from waking up on the first of the month each month, knowing I'm getting paid at the end of the month, to waking up on the first of the month and maybe have a few jobs there that I have to get done, but I've no absolute surety that even if I do the jobs, I'm going to get fully paid for them on time.
Or when the invoices are going to come in.
And then there's the timing of it. Like, and the mortgage provider doesn't care that you didn't get paid for the big job that you did 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. Yes, they don't care. And it's the biggest concern. And it does just come down to being financially prepared. You need to know your numbers inside out. You need to know how much it costs you to run your life. Okay. Mm-hmm. What are your expenses? What are the things you have to pay for? What are the things, it's your needs and your wants. What are the things you need to pay for and what are the things you want to pay for? And it's as simple as that. This is school economics or school budgeting, right? But you really need to sit down with a pen and paper and decide, how much do I need on a month-to-month basis just to survive? And then how much do I need on a month-to-month basis to survive and live a little? Mm-hmm. And they're your two numbers and they're your basic needs and a little bit of luxury on top of it. That then gives you a much clearer picture of how much savings do I need, right? If, depending on what type of business I'm going to take the leap into, will it be 3 months before I start getting my first paycheck? Mm-hmm. Will it be 6 months? Will it be 12 months? But how much is it going to be? And that gives you an idea of how much money you need to be going in the background, keeping the background in order to keep your life going while the business is getting off its feet. I'd be slow to be borrowing money, but one of the things that sometimes people overlook is if you're making contributions into savings or pensions, but pension's going to be different now because you're moving to a new employment, so you're going to stop the pension anyway for the moment. But also, sometimes people will have an option on their mortgage to stop the mortgage for a few months. Now, I'm not encouraging that. Mm. I'm just saying if you're really scared about it, don't do it at the start, but it might be an option if it's slower than you expected it to be.
Yeah.
The other thing is, look, I'm an employer. We have loads of people working with us in the office, right? Yeah. Don't take advantage of your employer, but try and get as much work as you can done before you take the leap.
That's what I was going to say. Actually seeing, I suppose just even testing the waters as to what is out there yeah. as a freelancer before you take the leap.
Yeah,
that you kind of have at least an idea of clients that would be interested in working with you before you take that leap.
There's two ways you can do that. One is you can just do little jobs and take them on and go and work them and see how it goes. But the other thing you can do is you can act like the customer. Mm-hmm. Right, and ring around and, oh, I'm looking to get this done, depending what job you're, what you're setting up as. Like, I don't know, the simple one is I'm a hairdresser, I'm going to set up as a hairdresser, yeah. right? And really simple example, ring the hairdressers in your area and see how easy it is to get an appointment with them. If it's really easy, well then, it's just they're not that busy. If it's really hard, there's probably a market there for you.
That's a good tip.
So
just test and see what the market is like in your area as well.
In what you're doing. Mm. Networking, like Karina seems to have been brilliant at that, her ability to network, and she used all her volunteering work to network. Make sure you're in the right circles, that the people who are potentially going to be your clients or your customers, that you were familiar with them, that you know who they are, that you're going to be able to leverage some of the contacts that you have.
Yeah.
But it is a scary thing to do. And I'm going to be honest with you, there's nothing is going to get rid of that fear. And honestly, even like...
You've done it yourself. So yeah, you're speaking from experience.
Yeah, and 16 years later, after I've set up Prosperous, it's still a scary thing. What is there, 23 of us now?
Yeah, and then taking the step. But, you know... Yeah,
it's still scary.
It's continuous growth and stuff as well. Yeah. So it's always scary kind of moving on to the next steps, but...
Yeah, but you know
what? Would you say it's worthwhile?
No, sorry, it is absolutely worthwhile if you love what you're doing. But if you don't love what you're doing, forget about it. You're going to hate it even more if you don't love what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I know people say, oh, follow your heart and the money will come. Yeah, provided your heart loves money, it might. But no, what I would say is that it's not all plain sailing. It's not that easy to do.
Yeah.
If it was easy to do, everyone would do it. If it was easy to do, business would never fail, right? Businesses fail all of the time.
Yeah.
And test the waters, but you will have to take the leap at some stage. And it does get better. I'm not painting a really awful picture, right? It does get much better and the worries become different. And instead of, like, if you think about it, instead of just worrying about paying myself at the start of this, now you've got 23 mouths to feed and 23 households who have this income coming into them. So it just becomes different. But if you love it, you'll enjoy it. Take that leap. Go for it. Mm-hmm. Amanda, you want more questions for next week?
Yep.
We cut it back to two this week on purpose. And I think it's an interesting one. We'll see if anyone's any feedback on that. But I think we're trying to make the show a little bit shorter. So that's why we went to two. But please send in the questions.
No, we're still, we have a lot of questions just, I suppose, in our bank at the moment. But we're always looking for more. So if you can send your questions by voice note on WhatsApp to 087-291-0507. That's 087-291-0507 and by voice clip on WhatsApp.
Voice
Thanks
note.
Very much.
And what I would say is use that voice note to send your questions in, but you can also just WhatsApp a message to that number if you've got, oh, I think you should have such and such on, or I think you should talk about this. Anything to do, you want to get in touch with the show, that's how you get in touch with the show. Give us the number one last time.
087-291-0507. And just one more thing on it as well, that a lot of our episodes this season are kind of, they're coming from ideas that listeners are sending in. So if you do have a good story to tell, or if you do want to come on the podcast and talk about a topic, do reach out to us as well.
Okay, excellent. Thanks, Amanda. So we spoke to Karina, we did your Q&A. And I hope what you've got out of today's show is that you've got a better feel for some of the ins and outs of being self-employed and some of the problems that exist and some of the potential opportunities that exist. There's actually two books I want to leave you with. When we've new clients in the office or even existing clients who are planning on going out on their own, there's two books I love to give them. They are Start With Why by Simon Sinek. If you don't want to read the book, go watch his TED Talk, his very first one. It's only 18 minutes long, but it really gets you driven down and gets you thinking about why you want to start a business. What's the purpose of your business? So Start With Why, Simon Sinek, S-I-N-E-K, is one book. And then the other book is called The E-Myth. I can't remember who wrote that, but E-Myth. And this, the subtitle to that is Why Small Businesses Fail. And this is all about setting up processes, procedures, policies, getting things structured when you do set up your own business. Those two books are invaluable. And I would strongly suggest you go read them or listen to them or whatever way you consume your books before you make a decision about taking a leap and setting up on your own. If you're already in business, I'll be honest with you, I was 4 years into Prosperous, 3 or 4 years into Prosperous when I read them both within the space of about 6 months of each other. And honestly, they just completely changed how I've approached the business, how I've developed the business and what I've done with it. These two books have had more impact on me and the business and the starting. They just kind of lit a fire under lots of change within Prosperous over the years. And I strongly recommend both of them. If you are taking a leap, we're mad to hear about the story. If you've already taken it, you are kind of halfway through, or you're well established, do leave us some comments on Instagram, because it's great to hear stories about who people are getting on, but also some of the failures people are having. I don't mean miserable failures. I mean just some of the learnings that people get along the way. As a friend of mine always says, and he robbed it from somewhere else, it's not win or lose, it's win or learn. And there's never a truer word to be said when you go out on your own. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again next week.